Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Man, what a great morning. Tell you what, God has been in the house all morning. And I just feel like even now there's just more that he wants to do. Sometimes you just sense electricity in the air. If you're new here, if you're visiting us, thanks so much for being with us. I hope we don't appear completely nuts to you. But we do believe in a God who's among his people. We do believe in a God who loves to show up, who loves to be among us by his presence, by his spirit. We believe in a Jesus who's alive, and that means that we expect he's here among us when we gather together. And so I'm going to talk, but we're going to do some prayer and ministry as well, kind of mixed in. We're just going to go with the flow a little bit this morning and see where we get to. So why don't we just pray and let's just invite God to keep working. Father, we thank you so much for your presence here. God, we count it such an awesome privilege to worship the God of all wonder, God, the God of all majesty, all perfection, all grace and purity. God, we count it such a privilege to come and worship and enter your courts. God, thank you that we can run into your courts now because we're sons and daughters. God, thank you that heaven is our home. God, wherever you are, that's home now for us. And God, we just run in this morning. We run in, Lord, with all that we know how to. We draw close to you. God, thank you for your promise that as we draw close to you, you draw close to us. So, Father, I just invite you to come again right now. I pray for another wave of your glory and your presence in this place. Lord, we pray wherever there's despair this morning that hope would invade that place. We pray wherever there's sickness that healing would invade that place. God, wherever there's pain, Lord, that restoration would flood that place. God, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, bring the kingdom. Bring the kingdom this morning. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Just draw close to him. He's here. He is here. He is here. The King is in this place. God, we love your presence. And we just welcome you to move. We welcome you to move. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, in just a moment, I'm going to start talking a little bit about making disciples and about making disciples who make disciples. And it's the multiplication mandate from God. And, you know, I think the truth is, if we put our hand on our heart, I think often for many of us, when we think about this issue of going to make disciples, one of the first little thoughts, there's actually a lie that can pop into our heads is this: I don't think I can do that. And even in these settings where we've been talking about discipleship over a number of weeks, I think actually often for many of us, if we're honest, our first feeling is to discount ourselves. Just think, well, those guys over there, they'll probably make disciples, but I'm just not ready yet. Anyone kind of recognize that thought in themselves? And I just feel like before we even talk about what we want to talk about, I think we just need to deal with some junk up here, which is the lie that I can't do this. I can't make disciples. Well, that's a lie. Actually, the Bible says that you have been now made an ambassador with Christ. You're an ambassador of the gospel. In fact, the moment that you gave your life to Christ, whether you've known him for 5 seconds or 50 years, you are now an ambassador of the gospel. You've been given much more than you realize you carry. And so if we're going to take this mandate seriously to make disciples, we've got to deal with this thought process of, I'll just wait till I'm a little bit more mature. I'll wait till I'm a little bit less busy. You know, I'll wait till this is sorted or that's sorted. You know, actually, guys, why wait? The time is now. The time is now. There's people all around us, actually, who need what you carry. And so I just want you to be brave in this moment. And if you know that often you have this thought of discounting yourself, of thinking, I can't make disciples, then I'd just like you to stand right where you are, and we're just going to pray, okay? So go for it. Let's stand and let's pray for each other. Come on, guys, I really want to encourage you. There's many more of you who want to stand right now, and there's a fear barrier that you need to step through, okay? And the first step to freedom is to step through that fear barrier, to stand up in front of somebody else and to say, actually, I need help this morning. I need help. So I just want to encourage you just to stand all around this room. If you know that actually, yeah, I need God just to break in up here somewhere. All right? I don't know if it's possible to have someone just come and play keys for us. That would be really helpful if there is someone around. Thank you. Thanks, Olivia. Holy Spirit. If you're just near someone who's standing right now, just why don't you just move towards them, just put a hand on their shoulder, and let's just pray for one another, okay? And we're just gonna break some lies that actually we can't do the stuff. Now the truth is, Jesus saved you so that you could do the same stuff that he did. You're his disciple. Ultimately, you're his disciple. You're called to do what Jesus did. And he's given you everything that you need to make a difference in this world. And so, Father, right now, I just ask that you would break off every lie where we discount ourselves. Or we say, I can't do this. I'm not ready. I don't have anything to give. My past failure or weakness discounts me. I've blown it. I can't get in this game anymore. God, right now, I just break that way of thinking in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And if you've thought that way, I just want you just to start repenting where you are right now. Just break the agreement with that lie that you cannot make disciples. Just break agreement. Even maybe just begin to verbalize that. Say, I break agreement with the lie that I cannot make disciples. I thank you that I'm an ambassador of Christ in this world. You saved me to make a difference. You saved me to make a difference. Some of you, it's the lie that you can't communicate very well. Some of you, it's the lie that you just haven't got the words to put to your faith. Again, if that's you, just receive fresh faith this morning. It's just not really about your words so much. It's about your life. It's about your heart. And so God, I just break again the lie that because we may be poor communicators, we can't disciple other people. Come, Holy Spirit, just deposit fresh faith right now to make a difference in the lives of others. God, for those of us that are here that are new believers, God, I pray that we would quickly realize that we have something to give, even while we're young in our faith. Come, Holy Spirit.
Just think, there's a perfectionism that needs to be broken off. That's one of the dangers of the internet, actually, is there's so many people, you actually get to see and watch the best in the world. And so often we can compare ourselves with the best in the world.
That's right.
Because they're on the internet. And actually, we just need to break that. You know, the story of the gospel, the story of the Bible, is God using people who are broken, who are messed up, who are by far not the best in the world, actually.
That's right.
If God wanted to put something on the internet as of his word, he would put actually people who came from broken, messed up. Look at Jesus' lineage. He's got people who are prostitutes, people who are lost in all sorts of different ways, and he picked them and said, "No, you are the people that I choose to send my message out through." And so just repent of that perfectionism of, "I've got to do it perfectly." You haven't got to do it perfectly. It's his spirit in you. He's going to use your mistakes, your failings. Just do what he's put in you. By his grace, he will use it. That's what the story of the whole Bible is, time and time again.
That's right.
Of him using imperfect people and filling them with his life and his power, and using their story overarch with his story to change the world around them. And we just pray for that perfectionism to be broken now.
Yes, God.
And for recognition of, I can do this. Not because of anything in me, but because of him in me. We ask you for that, God.
Yes, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep receiving from him all over this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, just release your presence more and more in this place. Just feel as well, for some of you, even when you hear the word discipleship, it kind of sends a shiver down your spine, because you've been through some bad experiences of discipleship. The model that you've had has not been helpful, and kind of what that's done is it's shut down your desire to ever disciple any other people. And again, God just wants to come and restore something of a passion for biblical discipleship to you. If that's you, can you just raise your hand if you know that you've been through perhaps a damaging experience of discipleship, and you just know that something needs to be restored to you. I think there's numbers just around the room. Again, if you're near someone and they've got their hand in the air, just go to them and just pray. Just pray for a moment of restoration. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Lord. God, we pray for a multiplying mindset right across this room. Give us a passion to make disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you, Jesus. Well, guys, if you're able, do go ahead and take your seats. Just keep engaging your heart with God, just as I'm speaking. And He's here. He's wanting to do some very, very deep things this morning. And if you've been in the King's Arms over the last few months, you'll know that we've been in this series called The Disciple, where we've been looking at what it means to live life like Jesus. Just wave at me if you've been to every single discipleship message. Great, about five of you. Brilliant. Right. The rest of you, go online and listen to the rest, okay? It's brilliant, brilliant stuff. And we've kind of been considering lots of different aspects of what it means to follow Jesus in our kind of upward life with Him, and in our inward life in terms of character development, in our outward life in terms of how we serve and connect to other people. And today is the final sermon in the discipleship series. We just wanted to put, as we finish, the spotlight on this issue of multiplication that we've just been praying into a little bit, because ultimately, all these tools, all these principles that we've been looking at through the past weeks really mean nothing unless we actually do something with them, okay? You know, these wonderful tools that we've been kind of writing up in flip charts, ultimately they'll remain just diagrams unless we actually take seriously the call of Christ to go and make disciples of all nations. And so as we finish, I just want to put briefly the spotlight on this issue of multiplication, why it's so important, and also how we can actually multiply disciples in our everyday lives. So here are my top four reasons why you and I should live with a passion to multiply, okay? So number one. First reason why we should have a passion to multiply and make disciples is this. It's because of the nature of God's kingdom. The nature of God's kingdom is that you have been saved into a kingdom that is ever increasing, never decreasing. So what the scriptures say, it says actually, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. No end. There will never be an end. The increase of His government and peace will only continue. And that's the kingdom that you've been saved into. And Jesus, when He was teaching about the kingdom, He used this very short little parable in the Gospels where He says this, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour. That's a big bit of bread. Until it worked all throughout the dough. Jesus doesn't explain that parable, but what we know is that yeast is a single cell organism that multiplies very, very quickly when it is under heat conditions. And really, yeast in dough is the difference between a tortilla or a loaf of bread, okay? Because yeast, when it's put into a substance, it grows, it multiplies. It naturally has life to it. And Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven multiplies, it grows. You put it anywhere and life should spring out. That's why you should expect, actually, that in the church should always be growing. Because if the kingdom's there, life should happen. And that's the nature of the kingdom that you've been saved into. Many, many scriptures that point towards this. Habakkuk 2:14 says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as waters cover the sea, ever increasing. Or Revelation 7 verse 9, where John is looking into the future, he's looking into the heavens at eternity, and he sees a multitude that no man can count from every tribe, language, and people group. You know, when you get to heaven and you look at the crowd around you, you'll not be able to count them. You think this church is big. Wait till you get to heaven. You know, sometimes I've known people who've left large churches because they say, I don't really like large church. I like small church. I'm like, well, best of luck. The church is meant to grow. You know, pretty soon you'll have to leave that one because it's meant to grow. Because that's what the kingdom's like. It grows. I saw a post this week from Randy Clark, who had just been to the largest church in the world, which is just shy of 3 million members. 3 million members. And he said on the particular night that he was there, 1 million people showed up to listen to him. Okay? I was just like, you know, mind-boggling. I saw this video literally of him walking past. It's just a sea of people. I mean, literally just couldn't count them, just a sea of people. And this church, you know, they have a fleet of 300 buses to bring people to their services every single week. They've set up a university, they've set up primary schools, secondary schools, they've set up their own bank, they've set up their own bakeries, their own water bottling plants, you know, their own businesses, you know. I mean, they're just hugely, hugely influential. And yet Revelation says, when you get to heaven, you're not even going to be able to count how many are there. Because where Jesus is, life is. The kingdom is like the king. And when the king shows up, man, stuff multiplies. It just does. We had a team last weekend who went down to Southampton to a youth event. It was a youth event for the community, about 250, 300 young people at this event, most of whom don't know Jesus. And we sent a little team down really to learn, just to kind of look and see what they're doing, to see if God's calling us to do something similar. And so they went down and they were just asking God to help them to bless people that were there. So they were talking to these particular two young girls, and they just start to prophesy over these two young girls who don't know Christ. And they just start almost literally reading their mail to the point where both of them just start crying. And pretty soon three of their mates gather around them and they're like, do that thing over us. That thing you just did to them, do it over us. And so they turn to one girl and they get a word of knowledge that she's got a pain in her right knee. And she's like, oh my God, I have got a pain in my right knee. And they're like, well, Jesus can heal you right now. And apparently that's what they kept saying. Oh my God. And so they gather all the other girls, none of whom are Christians, and they teach them how to pray for the sick. And so they lay hands on their friend. They command sickness to go in the name of Jesus. Instantly the pain leaves her knee. And again, she's like, oh my God. You know, I mean, it's just completely gone. And so the next girl in the line is like, do that thing to me as well. And so they pray for her. They have a word of knowledge about an argument that she's had with her mother and that God is speaking to her about reconciliation. Again, she just starts crying. She's like, I was just outside effing and blinding about my mum. I had a massive argument before I came out tonight. And again, they're just blown away. And then they just began to talk about the love of the Father to these five girls. Again, and all of them just start crying. As the love of God just begins to hit them. And then the most natural thing in the world is to say, would you like to know this Jesus that you've just encountered? They're like, yes, please. So they led all five of them to the Lord right there and then, in the middle of those hundreds of young people. And then they said, well, Jesus promises that you'll receive the Holy Spirit, so why don't we just receive the Spirit right now? So, I mean, literally, there's hundreds of kids all around there, and they're right in the middle of this venue, holding their hands up like this, receiving the Spirit. God's power just comes on them. And then the next day, we're talking to one of the youth leaders who knew those five girls. He said, what happened was a miracle, but it was doubly a miracle because of who it happened to. He said, because those five girls have been the most resistant, most disinterested in the gospel since we met them. He said, that is a double miracle right there. I mean, that is amazing. But listen, that's what happens when the king shows up. And that's why you and I should have a passion for multiplication, because it's the kingdom that you've been saved into. Second reason why we should have a passion for multiplication of disciples is just the simple maths of the gospel. You know, I don't really like maths, but I like the maths of the gospel. And the maths of the gospel is this. This is news that is too good to keep to yourself. You just have to share it. It has to either add or multiply, never divide or subtract. Okay? That is the kingdom. That's the gospel. It's a gospel actually that you're so compelled by the love in the gospel. Actually, you have to share it with somebody else. And that's the maths of the gospel. You know, and I was praying this morning, doing some repenting, because if I'm honest, I feel like at times recently, I've lost my passion for the gospel that causes me just to want to tell somebody else. Because we can be so familiar, many of us, with the gospel. You know, the gospel, if you don't know what the word gospel means, it simply means good news. We can be so familiar with the good news that it stops feeling good to us and we stop wanting to share it. When was the last time you shared the good news with someone? And the simple mass of the gospel is if we lived in this constant awareness of God, you stepped out of heaven into this planet to rescue me. If we lived in the wonder of that message, it'd be the most natural thing in the world to just share whatever we have with other people, to give the good things that God's given us away. And again, this, of course, was the experience of the early church. Peter and John, when they're called before the Sanhedrin, before the religious leaders in Acts 4:18, this is what they say. The religious leaders called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speak about the things that we've seen and heard." We cannot help but speak about the things we've seen and heard. This is the reason why you should make disciples. I cannot help but make disciples because of the things I've seen and heard. I've got to give it away to somebody. It's the most natural thing in the world. Again, love the story of one lady who became a Christian at our night shelter. And she gave her life to Christ, having been healed of two conditions in the night shelter she was prayed for. Her most obvious response was to give her life to Jesus. She then went on our Alpha course, and she was on a table, and she just immediately, overnight, was just the most out-and-out evangelist that you've ever met. Because she couldn't help but talk about the things that she'd seen and heard. And that's the gospel right there. You've been saved into an expanding kingdom where multiplication is the norm. Third reason why we should have a passion for multiplication is the goal of completion. The goal of completion. And I think often in our kind of evangelical world, we've preached the gospel of conversion, when actually Jesus preached the gospel of completion. You know, the gospel of conversion really often majors on, you know, the four steps to kind of become a Christian. And that, of course, is really, really important. It's important to know how we actually become a Christian. It's really, really important. But actually, when you look at the message, the gospel, the good news that Jesus came proclaiming, it was good news for all of you. It was good news for your brain. It was good news for your body. It was good news for your emotions. It was good news for your soul, for your spirit, for your family, for your past, for your present, for your future. The gospel was, it was good news for all of you. The gospel of the kingdom. And Paul, when he is kind of writing about his life, he says this in Colossians 1:28. He says, "We proclaim Jesus and admonish every man and teach every man that we may present every man complete in Christ." So the goal of discipleship is not just conversion, it's completion. I once asked a very experienced pastor, very experienced leader, I said, "What is it that kind of gets you up in the morning, that kind of makes you tick? What puts a fire in your bones?" Immediately he turned to Colossians 1:28. He says, "The reason that I'm alive is to present every man, every woman under my care, complete in Christ." He said, "That's my job. That's what I'm here to do." Guys, that's why having a passion to make disciples is so important. Getting people through the door ain't enough. We're here to present people complete in Christ. And then fourthly, the fourth reason why we have a passion for multiplication is this: the pursuit of generational legacy. I thought that was a good point. That was a good headline. The pursuit of generational legacy. Psalm 145 verse 4 says this: "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." And one of the things that we've got to keep working hard to break in our church culture is individualism. Individualism is one of the prevailing cultures or spirits of our age, which basically says, "I'm living for myself. I'm living to make my own life better." That's individualism. And of course, God cares about every single individual. Every single individual is important. But individualism, which causes us to live very self-centered lives, actually is the opposite of what we find in Christ. Because scripture says, "One generation will commend your works to another." In Proverbs 13:22, it says, "A righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children." Did you get that? The righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. In other words, the mindset of the righteous, the mindset of those who are in Christ's kingdom is, "I'm not just going to live for myself. I'm not even going to live just for those who are nearest and dearest to me. I'm going to live my life in such a way that my decisions affect the next generation and the generation after them." I'm going to leave a world that's better for them than the one that I came into. You know, my hope is for my children and for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, is that they inherit a world that is better than the one that I live in. That's what I'm living with. I don't believe that the world is going to pot. I believe that the world is in a process of redemption. And that's exactly why the church is here. The church is here is to pass hope to the next generation. Not to leave them a catastrophe, but to leave them a nation that actually has hope. And a righteous man provides an inheritance for his children's children. And certainly the Apostle Paul, when he was writing about discipleship, he had this in the way in which he made disciples. He writes this to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. He says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Very interesting. If you look at that verse, begin repeating the process with others. To teach it, simply coach them through this simple process of watch it, share it, do it, teach it. It's good stuff, isn't it? You know, just nudge someone next to you and say, "You could do that. You could." Nudge the person on the other side, say, "You could do that too." Okay, guys, the truth is, every single one of you has amazing stuff from God to pass on to other people. And guys, my challenge at the end of this discipleship series is, let not this discipleship series just sit on a podcast on a website. Let's actually do the stuff, guys. Let's do the stuff, and let's create a brilliant, vibrant discipleship culture in this church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, just put a hand on the shoulder of someone you're standing next to, and we're just going to pray for each other. Sorry if you don't like physical human touch. We just want to pray right now for this discipleship culture, this passion to multiply, to get deep into our bones as a church, all right? So I'm just going to pray, but you be praying for the person that you're standing next to right now. Holy Spirit, we pray for this church. We pray for ourselves. And God, we want to pray for this multiplying mindset to grab a hold of our hearts and our minds. Jesus, I want to pray that we would be a church that excels in making disciples that make disciples. Spirit of God, rest on us for this. God, I thank you that you've simply shown us the way. God, that simple process of imitation, of coaching, of learning. And God, I just pray today that you would just freshly inspire each of us to get in the game. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, come on us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Just for something particular, for if you've given your life to Christ in the last 2 years, just raise a hand if you've become a Christian or you've made a step of faith in the last couple of years. I just feel there's something particularly for you guys this morning that God would say, don't discount yourself.
Yeah.
Don't hold back just because you feel new in the faith. This is for you to give away. Start giving it away now, even that which you've known already. Start finding someone to give it away.